Please stand. The text of our sermon this morning is a gospel lesson appointed for this Sunday from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do you have an individual that you call in case of an emergency? If there is a problem that you are struggling with in your life, you want some advice on an issue, do you have that trusted friend that you can call who will know exactly the right thing to say to you and will give you good guidance as a path forward? Maybe it's an issue with your vehicle or with your home. Is there somebody you call and when they answer, they're going to be able to tell you exactly what to do? I think I have three or four people like that that I can call and they just give you good advice. It's a real blessing. We treasure that and we'll probably go back to them again and again to ask those questions when we're in a time of need. But even the wisest, most intelligent and most ingenuitive person there is gonna finally come up against that brick wall. They're gonna face that impossible situation and there's absolutely no way out. They won't find an answer. They won't be able to give you advice because it's an impossible situation. Believe it or not, sometimes people come to pastors for advice, but we face those impossible situations too. Thursday morning, went to the home of one of our members. She had just gone home to heaven. And they're in the home with her daughter and granddaughter, an impossible situation. Nothing that I could do or say could change what had just happened. Every time we face death or think about death, that impossible situation comes in front of us. There's nothing we can do about it. But because most of us are not in the mortuary sciences and don't deal with death on a regular basis, this morning we want to look at an impossible situation at the beginning of life. That's what we have in the gospel lesson for this morning. The account of the angel Gabriel coming to the Virgin Mary, announcing to Mary and something that's impossible. There's no way this can happen. But with our God and with his promises, not one of those promises will fail to happen. What God says always comes true. To put it another way, nothing is impossible with our God. 6 months had gone by since God first initiated this earthly plan of salvation. What started was the angel going to a man named Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest. He and his wife Elizabeth would be the parents of John the Baptist. But they were in an impossible situation. They were old, and Elizabeth was unable to have children. Zechariah had some questions about that. But at least it was possible. I mean, you got a husband and wife, and that's the thing, way things normally happen, so at least there's a possibility. But what Mary hears from the angel, impossible. The angel shows up to Mary. She lives in Nazareth and comes to her home, a young girl, teenager probably, and says, "Greetings. You who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was troubled, and she wondered what kind of a greeting this might be. But it's so much more than just an angel showing up, which is amazing in itself. Mary wasn't just troubled and wondering. She was afraid. And we know that because the angel told her, "Don't be afraid." But Mary was afraid because she was in the presence of one of God's holy messengers. And that strikes fear in the hearts of sinful human beings. Last Sunday evening, we had our Advent by candlelight service here in our sanctuary. And one of the songs that we sang or heard sung was a song called "Mary, Did You Know?" And in that song, the verses ask all these questions. What did Mary know about Jesus, the miracles, and all of those things? We could probably say Mary had no idea about all the miracles Jesus would do. But what Mary did know about this child is that it was her Savior and that she needed him. You see, a little bit later on, Mary goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, and Mary sings this song, and in the song she said, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Mary knew her sin. Mary knew she needed this promise of a Savior. That holy angel reminded her of that truth. That happens throughout the scriptures. When God sends his messenger, or when God appears to sinful human beings, there's fear there, even among believers. In the Old Testament book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah was called to follow, to serve the Lord. And in that call, Isaiah saw these angels flying around God's throne. And Isaiah said, "I am ruined because I'm a sinner, a man of unclean lips." It's terrifying. The apostle John, who was the disciple that Jesus loved, that's how John identified himself. At the end of his life, he was on the island of Patmos, and Jesus came to him. And when John saw him, he fell to the ground like he was dead because he was so terrified. God knows that about us. He knows that about each of us because it's true. As sinful human beings, when we come into the presence of a holy God, there is fear. Now, we live in God's grace. We hear the gospel. We believe the good news that our sins are forgiven, that we have a right relationship with God. But it can be very easy for us to hear it so frequently that we forget just how amazing it is that this impossible situation could have been reconciled. But it was. It was when God kept his promise to send the Savior. Mary was greatly troubled by this greeting, and the angel spoke to her. Angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will have no end." Don't be afraid, Mary. Let the angel know her name. Can you imagine how striking that would be? You're troubled by this angel showing up, and that angel knows who you are and addresses you by name. And then reminds you of all these beautiful Old Testament prophecies. Virgin birth, right? The son of David. Give him the name Jesus because he's going to forgive his people for their sins. He will reign forever. His kingdom will never end. That's exactly what God had promised to send in this world. And the angel said, "It's coming. Through you, Mary." That's the way God deals with his people. He speaks to us these messages of peace and comfort. When we face impossible situations, God comes to us with good news. His promises have been kept. His promises have been fulfilled, and it's for each and every one of us. He addresses us by name. He's brought us into his family of believers. He has made us his own dearly loved children and keeps repeating these promises to us and tells us not to be afraid. As impossible as this whole situation was for Mary, it's even more incredible to think about it from Jesus' point of view. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, sent his angel to Mary to tell her that he was about to keep his promise to come and be the Savior. That would mean Jesus would leave his throne of grace in heaven. He would become in the flesh and confine himself inside the womb of the Virgin Mary for 9 months. When we talk about Jesus' work, we often speak of his humiliation. How humiliating that was for the Son of God to put himself there for 9 months. And then he was born. And the humiliation continued. Jesus was fully dependent on those two sinful human beings. You know, most children eventually learn that their parents aren't perfect. Their parents sometimes make mistakes. Jesus knew it right away. And he chose to go there. He chose to put himself there. It's amazing. It's impossible. Why would God do that? It continues. Right, all the things that Jesus went through, all the suffering, the blood that was shed, the death, he did it. He did it to resolve this impossible problem that we have. Make us right with God. And with his resurrection on Easter Sunday, it was accomplished. A God who does the impossible has brought us salvation. Those promises are so clear in Scripture. Mary believed them even before the angel came to her. Greetings, you are highly favored, is not a greeting you give to somebody who's not a believer. Mary was one of those Old Testament believers. But when she heard the news, she had some questions, and I think we all would. So she said to the angel, "How can this be? I'm a virgin." And God, in his grace, through his angel, gave her some more information. The angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. For no word of God will ever fail." "I'm the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. How will this be? Let me explain it to you. That's what God does in his word. How can this be? God takes us to his word and says, "This is how it is." And he lays out for us his beautiful plan of salvation that's so personal. And it works. Mary and Joseph, two people in very difficult situations, the two believers who responded in faith to God's promises. In the Gospel of Matthew, we learn that Joseph also heard from an angel, and at the end, Joseph did what the Lord told him to do because he was a believer. Mary and Joseph heard these words and promises of God, and they believed, just like we do. And we believe some pretty incredible things about our God and what he's done for us. We believe that God came into this world and lived and died and rose again. We say it so often, but think about it. The God who created this world came to save it. Actually died for the people in this world. We believe when we go to the Lord's Supper, we receive Jesus' true body and blood as the pledge of our forgiveness. It's not impossible. It's completely true because that's what Jesus says in his word, that he really gives me his flesh and blood in that little wafer and a little cup of wine. And he's present with us, and not just here, but around the world at the same time. That's what we believe on the basis of what God's word clearly teaches. It's impossible, but yet we cling to it in faith. Why is it then that we have such a challenging time to believe things that are really kind of simple when you compare them? Well, for example, sometimes we believe that we have to work so incredibly hard to prepare for our future. And we have to try to anticipate every possible thing that might happen or could go wrong so that we can take care of ourselves. Why don't we trust the God who has done the impossible to care for us? That doesn't make any sense. If God has done what is clearly more incredible and more impossible, why won't he take care of my short earthly life? If he secured my eternity in heaven, why wouldn't he be watching over me right now? Or think of it this way. We can become so worried and upset about what might possibly ruin this world that we live in. That one event or a series of events could throw everything into chaos. I thought Jesus was alive. I thought Jesus was at the right hand of God, ruling all things for our benefit. What would we ever need to be afraid of? Some impossible earthly situation? Jesus faces that with his people. He faces doubt. He faces a lack of trust. And it's not just with us. It's not just with people today. It's always been that way with God's people. Jesus heard it from his disciples even when they were face to face. One time the disciples faced an impossible situation. They were in a boat and a storm was raging in the Sea of Galilee. And the waves were crashing over the boat and they thought they were going to sink and drown. And Jesus was sleeping in the boat. And they woke him up and they said to his face, "Lord, don't you care if we drown?" What? What are you talking about? Still. And was completely calm. "You have little faith. Why don't you doubt?" We have a God who does the impossible. We see those examples in our own life, how God works things out and works things out so that we're closer to him, blesses us, even through those difficult times. The greatest evidence we have of this is what God has done for us at Christmas and Easter. Came in the world to be our Savior, died and rose again so we can have eternal life. That was impossible for us, for anybody. But nothing is impossible with God. No word of the Lord will fail to be fulfilled. Now, I don't think Mary was praying to be the virgin prior to the angel showing up. Mary knew that there was going to be a virgin involved. She knew that that was the promise in Isaiah chapter 7. The virgin will be with child, give birth to a son, call him Emmanuel. Mary believed those promises. But I don't think Mary was saying, "Lord, let me be that virgin." Maybe she was. But Mary was certainly praying for the Messiah to come. She didn't see her role yet. And the angel came and explained everything to her and answered her legitimate questions. Her response was, "Okay. May it be to me as you have said. I'm your servant, Lord." God does that for us. As we bring our requests to him, we ask him for things. He doesn't always give us what we ask for, what we think we should have. But what he does is create in us a contentment, a joy, that we have a God who has done the impossible and will continue to treat us that way in our life. In our Old Testament lesson for this morning, from 2 Samuel chapter 7, David has just been established in the city of Jerusalem, and he's ready to build a temple for the Lord. He said, Lord, I want to build your church. What a good and godly desire David had. But the Lord sent the prophet to him and said, no, you're not going to build my temple. Your son Solomon will do it. David, you're not going to do it. But then the Lord said, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to build your kingdom. And it's going to last. It's going to endure forever and ever. David had one thing in mind, and it was good, but God had something completely different and way better. An eternal kingdom that would be for David and for all believers in Christ, for each and every one of us. Christmas gives us a wonderful opportunity to go to some really familiar territory in our faith life and wonder and marvel at those promises of God that were so impossible, but were completely fulfilled, just as the word of the Lord had said. And that does so much more for us than just bring some Christmas music to mind or give us the ability to focus in on some family traditions. No, going to the gospel, marveling all the way through from Mary to the shepherds and to the wise men, to all those promises of God, gives us the opportunity again to see that our God does those things that are impossible. And he's done them for us. And if God has acted that way in the past on our behalf, he will certainly do the same thing in the future. That's his promise to us. To be with us always to the very end of this age and into our eternal life in heaven. And no word of the Lord will ever fail. Thanks be to God for that glorious, impossible truth. Amen.